We are tonight another step forward in the book of Romans. All right, and this is a remarkable thing. Romans chapter 8 marks a major shift in the thinking of the Apostle Paul. And this chapter introduces several aspects of how life really is transformed by the Spirit of God. That's what a Christianity is. It's a life transformed by the Spirit of God. I never forgot at the beginning of our church when we were in the bank in Gilroy, we were visiting in the city of Gilroy, and one lady requested that we give a booklet with all the do's and don'ts of the church. And I just gave a booklet, the Bible. And she said, no, but she belonged to a church that have this you can do, this you cannot do. And the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8 deal with that. Now, this chapter is all about the new life that we have in the Spirit of God. We're a Christian, and how Christianity expresses itself. It's no complicated. He explained it. So in the first four verses, Paul spoke about the deliverance of the Spirit of life, how the Spirit of life have moved us on. Now, in the verses that we're going to read this evening and explain it, he writes about the difference of the spiritual life. You have to know this if you're a Christian, that there is a difference in your life. And the major difference is not in the way you dress, it's not in the way the house you live or the car you drive, is you have the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God has made a difference in your life, and we're going to see that. So the Bible is clear, very clear, in all the teachings on the Bible, that how a man thinks determine what manner of man he really is, how a man think. Remember the book of Proverbs? You don't have to look over there. Proverbs 23:7 said, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." This morning we study about what the heart is. As he thinking in his heart, so the man is. So the mind is a very important thing. All right? Whatever man focus his mind, this is what he produces in his life. Whatever you have in your mind is what's going to want to come up, and is what you're going to do. So think evil thoughts and produce evil actions. Think godly thoughts and produce godly actions. It's very simple and not complicated. So that is why the Word of God is so clear. The passage that impressed me much in my life, Romans 12:2. I was at lunchtime with my mother, and I was 18 years old in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and I received a little car from the army, and the car said, "You should present yourself to the army forces tomorrow morning at this hour." And I was enrolled then for 2 years military service, obligatory military service in my country. Reminds me of Romans 12, and in verse 2, he said, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." No renewing of how you dress, no renewing where you live, no renewing what car you drive. It's by the renewing of your mind that ye may prove what is the good, the acceptable, and perfect will of God. So unless we change our mind, there is something wrong with us. We have to understand that. So let us spend a few moments tonight and study this passage. Romans 8, verses 5-13. We're going to study tonight, and we're going to see the difference of the spiritual life. He's going to show us how different is the spiritual life. The first section is the difference in the mind of the believer. All right, we go verse by verse. In verse 5, the desires of the mind are changed. The first thing that Paul addressed is the contrast that exists between a natural man and the mind that has been transformed by the Spirit. Let me read it for you. Romans 8 in verse 5. "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So the whole idea here is that the natural orientation of the natural man thinking is always directed toward the things that pertain to the flesh. So if your mind has not been transformed by the Spirit of God, the only thing you think is issues of the flesh, all right? And that's what the Bible said right here. It said, for those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. That's what I tell the young people. Be careful when you're going to marry, because if you marry an unbeliever, that's what his mind is. It's on the things of this world, and the things, everything that pertains to the flesh. In other words, the carnal mind focuses only on the physical, the material, and other selfish concern. There is no other thing in their mind unless God intervene. It may think about religion, but it will be a religion based in what he can do for himself. People asking me in McDonald's, what can you do to get to God? I said, nothing. What? No, nothing. Oh, no, I walk 20 miles to give God something and expect that God will forgive me. See, I walk. I did this. And God doesn't want anything I from me, having marred by sin. So I need to show God Jesus, who forgave me. And so the apostle is saying, be careful with your mind. See? Generally, however, the carnal mind is filled with thoughts that center around ways to gratify the flesh, what I can have for myself. Of course, this is what the Bible teaches us about the lost man and his mindset. I in my notes, I copied 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 1 to 4. And I, brethren, could not speak to you, he's talking to the church of Corinth, as to a spiritual people, but as to carnal people, as to babies in Christ. And in verse 2 said this, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. All right? And even now you are still not able. Verse 3, for you are still carnal, for where there is envy, strife, and divisions among you, you are not carnal and behaving like mere men. For when one says, I am Paul and I'm the Apollos, are you no carnal? In other words, he's talking to the church and saying, I listen to your vocabulary and I listen what things you like and don't like. And boy, you're still in the old fashioned. Like in some churches, you know, I don't know why, but there is a lot of people in some on my family's wife says, do you want to have a new building? No, I said, I don't know. The Lord, it will be nice that before you retire, they tell me, you have a new building. Well, I have a new building. Look at all the people that have been saved in our church. That is the building that I count. And Pastor Greg agreed with that. That we count that the important part is that the new building is you. This building is incidental. Incidental altogether. And so a good question to ask at this point is this. Of what character are the thoughts that fill our mind? Depending upon how we answer this question, we can learn a lot about ourselves, all right? Now, so the first thing that we see here is the and this difference of the mind, the desires. You need to think, what are the desires of my mind? Verse 6 now, in Romans chapter 5, the directions of our mind are changed. Look at verse 6. For to be carnally minded is dead. Wow, it's just so straightforward, all right? Carnally minded is dead, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So in this verse, Paul is stating a fact. See, he put it not as a doubt or as a consideration. He just said a fact. If you have a carnal mind, that is a mind focused on the thing pertaining to the flesh, then you are dead. I mean, you can be alive, humanly speaking, but dead with respect to God. You don't have any life with respect to God. He's not talking about a potential. He's merely stating an equation. To have a carnal mind means you are lost and dead. That's what verse 6 said. For to be carnally minded is dead. Is that clear? In other words, to think that the church is a building. It's nice to have a better facility. It's nice to have this. But I don't want to spend the money of the ministry all in the facilities. I spend it on missionaries so that we spend the ministry away. That's very, very important. On the other hand, to have a mind focused on God, one thing about it is to prove that you are indeed saved by grace. Look at verse 6 again. And said, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You have a spiritual life and you have peace. While the primary focus of this text is the here and now, what I can get today, the future is also in view. To possess really a carnal mind means that you and I, if you have that kind of mind, are lost in sin and eventually find yourself in hell, forever separated from God. On the other hand, to be controlled by the Spirit is the evidence of an eternity that will eventually feel alive forever and ever. Very, very important. I have a doctor who is from India now, close to the Adrian family they live in. I got a report on the blood test, 3 reports. They took blood and blood and blood. They don't know why I have a heartburn. Then the report gave us that I have 1/10 of blood going and the red cells less than what should. And the doctor said, that's a problem. Well, no problem if you have 10 and you have 1/10. I said, if you have 10 and you have 1/10, well, you have one little line. I said, it's not a problem. Maybe it's something, a deficiency or something. And then he said, well, I need to do more tests. Maybe it's cancer. Maybe it's an ulcer. Maybe it's this. I said, doctor, I insist. The factor is the 1/10. Thank you, Diane. That 1/10 is just not an issue. It's just maybe I need some different type of food or whatever, but I'm not losing blood. Well, I said, I want to do this test. I thought, he said, but you are 81. So I told him very clearly, you don't treat me, you don't treat the 81, you treat me. Because doctors do that. When you are 70, they treat, oh, you are 70. And I said, you don't say any longer to me, you are 81. Because otherwise your mind is treating me a man of 81. I want you and I go to the treadmill over there in the next building and you will see who lasts longer. He said, okay, all right. But let's do the test. And so we did the test. The test proved I have nothing more than I need to change some diets. And he said, well, he said, he's a short guy. So I stand like this. And he said, you know, Gabriel, he said, you're okay. You can go home, you're okay. I see you in 3 months. No, that's too much money for you. I see you in 6 months, because 3 months, that you do it just to get money, but in 6 months will be proper. Ha, 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 but in 6 months, I will see him. You know, it's important to know. Yes, we take a test. Are we spiritual or are we carnal? If we are carnal in our mind, the only thing we think is this world and the things of this world, then certainly there is no Christ in me. But if I think spiritually, and the best thing I can have for my children, I pray for my daughter, she will be saved. I pray then that she will marry a believer. I pray that her children will believe. And when I have my daughter saved, my son-in-law is saved, and my 3 granddaughters married 3 people who are saved, I'm a millionaire, a billionaire. That's the greatest thing I can have. And that's what this text 6 said. For be carnally minded is dead, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's the key. I have life and peace. They can get sick, yes, and their body, we know all will get sick. Some of us will die young. Some of us, you know, if I had to die, I had to die, I told the doctor. Just like that, he said, yeah, just like that. Are you a Buddha guy? He said, yes. I said, well, Buddha is dead. I had news for you. He said, what about Jesus? Well, Jesus was dead, but in 3 days he took off. said, where is he? I said, well, that's how you want me to explain it? Let's get a Bible. No, I have patience and so on. He cannot do it. But I told him we're going to have a luncheon, and I'm going to explain you where Jesus is, because you need to find it. He said, I'm interested. So you never know what the Lord opened. He wanted to have the luncheon just to laugh at me, but he will be surprised what the Bible said, where Jesus is. And that's what this text is saying. Now, come on, believers are wrong. He said, check yourself. If the only thing you think is carnally minded, then there is something wrong with you. But if you think spiritually, then it's good. And look at in verse 7, the devotion of the minds are completely changed. Look at verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, said the scripture. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So Paul tells us that the carnal mind is really the enemy of God. Well, that's getting serious, don't we? That's getting very, very serious. When people say, oh, you don't have a church. If I had two people, Jesus said, where two are gathered in my name, I'm there. So Greg sometimes maybe have a class of eight, sometimes they have a class of two. Jesus was there. And I plan to start in April to have a class for all the young people and beautiful questions that somebody asked. And I will be there and Greg will explain it. And I wrote so many letters to people to be connected, and I had to get with Greg to see how they can ask and questions on the air, because I want to promote the Bible teaching. And it's not only in the morning service, the evening service, but it's in all our little Bible classes. They are so good. And so here, verse 7 tells me tremendous things. The carnal mind is enmity against God. You're an enemy of God, all right? Now, why is this true? Because the carnal mind desires to be God. I do what I want. You hear that when the young people were. I only say it once to my mother, and she strikes me so good that I never have courage to repeat it again, because I was marked all over. At that time in Argentina, you don't go to jail by doing that. But boy, it got to my mind, all right? It is bent on the overthrow of God and is determined to enthrone itself as God in an unbeliever's life. In other words, I do what I want. And as I share the gospel in this McDonald's with people, I'm just so tired. Sometimes I want to quit because it looks like worthless. But then I had to remind myself, when I was an unbeliever, I was worthless too. And so I need to have patience and kindness in showing. We have a man who cut the grass here, Mr. Perfecto. He's a nice guy. But he's 83. And I said, Perfecto, how long are you going to live? He said, where are you going to go? Well, they dropped me on the dirt. But the real Perfecto, where he goes? He said, well, I don't know, Pastor. So I give you a Spanish Bible, and I show you where we go. You go to hell or you go to heaven? Well, so I have done a lot of things for the Catholic Church. The church, whatever we have done means nothing. It's what he has done that is the place, all right? So The mind is a very serious and dramatic circumstances. So there is a difference if you have a spiritual life, all right? And Paul said in verse 5, he said that for those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh, those who set the things on God, set the mind and the things of God. So where is your mind? That's my question. And that's what I gave this sermon to the young people this morning, handle in their hand. Where is your mind and the things of God and the things of this world? Sure, you have to study. Sure, you have to have a mind, and you live with your parents, how to please your parents, how to help your parents. Yes, all of these things. But what is the goal of your mind? You know, that's very, very important. Now let's talk of verses 8 to 9, the difference in the motivations of the believer. Look at in verse 8 what they said. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You know, I'd like to move my Bible just 1 second here. In Hebrews chapter 11, you know the text that I'm looking for. Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 6, all right? Here's what the Bible says. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. So the only way to please the Lord is by exercising faith. It's not by coming 20 times at church. It's not by walking around this building. It's not by walking forward. It's by exercising faith in what God said. Faith is the one element of the fruit of the Spirit. Remember in Galatians chapter 5, it said over there, all right? It's the evidence that the Spirit of God is the residency in the life of the believer. Faith, when you have faith, that tells me that you have the Spirit of God. When people said, Pastor, the Bible said this, and sometimes we talk a lot with Pastor Greg together, and we learn from each other, and that means that he has the Spirit of God, and I have the Spirit of God. But if I refuse to learn, then I question if I have the Spirit of God or not. All right? And that's what the Bible says. Now, look at in verse 9, Paul contrasts what he has been saying with those who have been saved. Look at verse 9. He said this in Romans chapter 8, verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, talking to the believers, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not of his. Now, it doesn't make any hard statement, doesn't make any theological statement. he's telling us that when we receive Jesus, when we come to believe in Jesus as our Savior, we change the realm of our existence, all right? That's the difference. Paul is trying to get really hard across to these people. We are no longer what we were, but now we are literally a new creature. I tried to tell the prison down that he came to our meeting in there at McDonald's because he thought I was taking... I'm disturbing his, he told me, you're disturbing my people. Because now they go with the Spanish Bible to the Catholic Church and ask the priest to explain in the Bible what he said. He said, you're disturbing my people. But verse 9 is clear. If you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, he's not of his. And so he asked me this question, how the Spirit of God dwells in you if it's not in the Catholic Church. In other words, when in the walls of these buildings, you have the Spirit of God. You go to get your car, you lost the Spirit of God. Are we crazy? It's just amazing. So the last sentence in verse 9, you look at here, said, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not of his. This last sentence is very interesting. It tells us that the believer will demonstrate the reality of his new birth by exhorting the Spirit of Christ. In other words, we believers are not perfect. We sin, but we recognize that and get convicted about it. Only the believer do that. The unbeliever is still thinking that he is right. And so what a wonderful difference in motivations. The believer has a spiritual motivation, he said, and the unbeliever doesn't have, had no idea of this. You have to talk to unbeliever. They had no idea of how Christ is in their life. So in this passage, he said there is a difference when you are a believer, a difference in the mind. You think different. When we have difficulties or we're going to make a decision in home, and I said, okay, I'm not sure about that. Let's pray and find out what God will tell us later as we read the scripture and as we wait a little bit to take a decision. Let's see what God has in mind. In other words, only a believer do that. And then I look back and say, I'm glad I did that. I'm a believer. I'm really happy about it. All right? Now, a difference in the motivations. What motivates your life? Your pleasure? Your own thing? Or Christ? It's just amazing. Now, finally, in verses 10 to 13, there is a difference in the life of the believer. See, the Spirit of God changes how we think. He changes how we are driven as we go through life. These verses 10 to 13, go on to tell us that he changes how we act, how we move with people. All right? Verses 10 to 11, a change in our members. Look at verse 10 and verse 11. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. I mean, the carnal mind. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Are we no happy that we really do not die? You know? That's what he's saying. A change in our members. These two verses fit together to teach us that when the Spirit of God really moves into our spirit, he will produce changes in the way the body really acts. In other words, we really are different. That is not to say that the believer do not sin. Yes, we do. I think it is clear that we do. And if you're honest, that's true. However, if salvation is a reality, all right, there will be a new desire in our life to honor God by the life we live when we do fail. In other words, 1 John 1:9 tells us that if we confess our sin, he's faithful to forgive us. In other words, we'll recognize and we come back to God. So verse 10 tells me that in 11 there is a difference in our members. Verse 12, a change to our members. Look at verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. This verse serves to remind all of us that we are not obligated to live after the flesh any longer. You don't have any obligation to be like an unbeliever. We are not. Look at how clear is verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are a debtor, not to the flesh, but to live according to the flesh. So let us therefore live for the Lord who suffered and died for us. Our flesh has done nothing for us, but only one thing. Our flesh condemns us. You only are carnal that confess. The debt we owe is to the Spirit of God. That's the debt that we owe. Okay? Let us honor him by living the kind of life, really, that brings honor to him. And look at verse 13. A caution to our members. I love verse 13. For if we live according to the flesh, you will die. In other words, if there is no change in your life, that there is no spiritual conviction, then you will die forever in hell. That's what they said. All right? And look at here. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. In other words, can we as Christians say that we have control of our body and our mind? Because you do have the power to do so, see? And so when a believer quickly recognizes, oh, this is not of God and change, he's a believer. But when a believer doesn't never see it, that he's wrong before God, then there's a big problem in that situation. So now, verse 13 gives us a caution to our members. Look at verse 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. It said very, very clear. But if you, by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Even though we are saved, we will have the potential to live after the flesh. And that's very, very tricky. All right? Anyone who tells you that Christians cannot sin, it is a liar. And Pastor Greg and I can tell you, when we counsel people, the most difficult part of counseling is that the person cover their sin with justification that they are doing right. And we're trying to find out where we can intervene and put the verse of the Bible to wake this person up. It's just very difficult, all right? Like children, when they argue about with you, parents, they argue because they think that they're right when they're wrong. And until we recognize that we're wrong, we don't have that connection. I think that we all need to closely, very closely, examine our lives this evening. Can we take an honest inventory and truly say, I have been changed? All right? I am not perfect, but I am different. That's what I ask in McDonald's. In Spanish, you say, ¿Qué hizo Dios para usted en su vida? What has than God in your life? Can you tell me? When people say, oh, I'm a Catholic, oh, I'm this, I'm the other, oh, fine, I said, ¿qué hizo Dios en su vida? What God has done for you in your life? And they look to you, they say, God? Yeah, God. God is our Father, and so what he has done for you? No, I go to church. That's fine. But what he has done for you? What do you mean? Does God have changed you? No, he said. Do you know where God is? No. Have you talked to God? No. And so there is no spiritual life, don't we? So I had to be so careful to go back. Remember, the people don't know the Bible at all. So I had to be so careful to say, in page so-and-so, I don't say book or anything. In page 200 and something, I said, here is what God said. And I had to say, this is, I don't even have to tell them, this is all the New Testament. I said, this is God's word altogether. And look at what he said here. And look at what he said here. You know, it's just something. Now, I tell you what happened. One guy have read 1 Kings and 2 Kings. It's weird, no? The non-believer, the person likes history. And so he read that to learn about Israel, and he learned about Solomon. And he told me, do you tell me that Solomon is a picture of Christ? He was a rascal. I said, well, it's a picture of you and me. The guy died very young because he cut off his life by his mistakes. But he was a man of God. And he said, well, look at what he did. Oh, just only one or two things in his life that were wrong. I said, but if you read Ecclesiastes, you see how he, in a marvelous way, exalt God and do examination of himself. So he's reading now Ecclesiastes to see what Solomon said about himself. And the other day he said to me, it's amazing that he recognized that he was wrong. I said, well then, I said, do you recognize you're wrong? No, I did nothing wrong, not to God. And when you have no picture who is God, it's very difficult. So my impression tonight is this: we have a God, and this God has given us a spiritual life. And what the Apostle Paul is saying in this is the spiritual life that God has given you convicts you, and you do what he said, and when you don't, you ask God forgiveness, because we are not perfect. If you do so, and I do so, then we are believers. If you disregard the Spirit of God and the conviction of God, then you have to question yourself, I'm a believer or not. So Paul put it very strongly to the Church of Rome. There were, you know, over seven families. As you read the last chapter of Romans, you have seven families involved. And he writes to them very strong to say, be sure that you experience the conviction of God in your mind. Use it for the Lord. Otherwise, be saved. One of the two. May God bless us that we go home with the idea that indeed the Lord has blessed us with an spirit of conviction that we can detect in our life, oh, this is wrong. This is what I said is wrong. That means you're a believer. We are not immune to sin, but we can wash our sins by the confession of God and recognition of it. And that's what he said, that's the difference. An unbeliever cares less if it's right or wrong. A believer really cares. It's what I said, what I do, what God wants me to do. Thank you, Father, for the great lesson that you gave us tonight, a lesson of conviction. You have given us the Spirit of God, and that Spirit speaks into our life. So help us this week to recognize your Spirit. Help us to be a people responsible to ourselves. Help us to look into our life and with great conviction and a privacy of our life to confess to you what things we think we found wrong, and give us the peace of mind and the joy of the Lord. And Lord, I pray for so many people that I witness that your Spirit will give them life. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you and have a beautiful, wonderful week ahead.